Okay, this sermon text is taken from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Jesus had a message for each of the seven churches in Asia Minor. These seven churches were literal churches, representative of churches and believers throughout the age. For Laodicea, there was a scathing indictment. Laodicea was the lukewarm church, and it was made up of lukewarm people. It was a wealthy church, but a spiritually dead church, more of a country club than a church of God. The majority of the people at the church at Laodicea were not even saved, although a few of them talked a good game. Jesus Christ was not even there. He was outside the church. He was more welcome in the company of tax collectors and harlots in the streets than he was in his own house. The members of the church at Laodicea were self-righteous for the most part, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Jesus is knocking from the outside. There was no handle on the outside of the doors of homes and churches in those days by which one may gain access. Entrance could only be gained by someone unlocking and opening the door from the inside. We've got that over here. We've got the bars on the inside, and somebody from the inside has to come in and open that up in order to let you in. Well, that was the situation. All the doors were barred secure. All the reprobate professing Christians were safely inside, and Jesus was locked out. Now our text, having been fully placed in its context, has wonderful gospel applications. Now, the issues of life arise from the heart. In the scriptures, the heart represented the innermost being of the person. And so, following the analogy, we say this: when Jesus comes knocking on the door of our hearts, we must decide whether or not we will allow him in. And this morning, we shall consider the different ways in which Jesus knocks. Each knock is distinctive in its sound. There is the knock of life events. You've heard the term the school of hard knocks. That's the knock of life events. There is the knock of truth. And there is the knock of Holy Spirit conviction. First, the knock of life events. This knock is loud, and it catches us off guard most of the time. Though we know that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, still, we are caught unaware many times when life comes knocking. God however, can use life's difficulties for his redemptive purposes. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Many people have been going about their lives, their daily business, and then it happens. Sickness or death come to call in the family. Marriage troubles rear their ugly head. Your children are having issues. There are problems at work. Yet as the trials have come, so comes Jesus. For it is written that he is a very present help in trouble. The trials have come, and the Lord is knocking loudly. In such times, you and I have a choice to make. And the two options are these: prayer or despair. Which will it be? Prayer or despair? There was once a man who was thankful for the afflictions that he experienced. For God taught that man through his trials that his own strength was insufficient. That man realized his need for God's help, and he cried out, "Your grace is sufficient for me." That man's name was the Apostle Paul. Let us learn to thank God through the trials. Though they may not be enjoyable, the Lord has some things to teach us through them. Paul heard the knock of life events, and he responded. He opened up to the Lord from the inside. I can still hear the psalmist testify. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I keep your word. Sometimes, when we have life too easy, we take life too easy. There are no accidents in God's providence. Everything you have gone through and are going through is known to Jesus, who cares for you. Therefore, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Are there any that would say that they are not sure whether Jesus really does care for them? Right at this moment, remember that God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now, if you hear the knock of life events, open the door to your heart from the inside and allow Jesus in. Then there is the knock of truth. This knock is perhaps a bit softer in its tone, but it is no less urgent. Jesus knocks after this manner also through faithful preachers and evangelists, through every one of you who is called by his name. Has he not given us the scriptures? And they testify of him. The knock of truth is no less powerful than that of life events. In fact, I would argue that it is more powerful, though its tone be different. Let us not be tone deaf to the word of God. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And lest any think that they can escape the effect of this knock, we read that there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. What does the knock of truth sound like? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's no ambiguity there. No ambiguity at all in God's word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, cries the Lord. If Christ cannot get your attention one way, he shall try another. If you will not answer to the knock of life's events, perhaps you may answer to the knock of truth. And if you will not hear either of these, there is still yet one more kind of knock that Christ will try. The knock of conviction. This is a persistent knock. Many before you have shut their ears to this for a while, only to open up in the end. When the knock of conviction comes, God has you over a barrel. Jesus is knocking for entrance, and God the Holy Spirit is already doing his work. I think of this as like the Godhead tag teaming us. You know, you had to do that with me, being an exceedingly thick case of God the Holy Spirit's work. It is written. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, and remember, Jesus is saying this before he ascended to the Father, before he sent the Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now, friends, all these knocks are employed by the Lord as he stands at your heart's door. The loud knock of life's events, the soft knock of truth, and the persistent knock of Holy Spirit conviction. For the believer, he does it from within. You get that unsettled feeling in your spirit because you know that you are in sin. For the unbeliever, he does it from the outside as he seeks to gain entrance. See what manner of trouble that God goes through just to save one soul, your soul, and minister to you on the journey of life. And friends, we get the easy part. Jesus has done the hard work of sacrificing himself at Calvary. So what shall we do? That we may work the works of God, you ask. It's a good question. Jesus answers, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. And if you believe on the authority of God's word, the Holy Bible, when Jesus knocks and you let him in, he shall surely come in. Speaking of children, there was a doctor who had a little child in his care, and he was about to do some heart surgery. This was life or death surgery for this little baby. And he began to say soothing things to the child to try to get him so that he wouldn't be so anxious and concerned, perhaps worried that he might not make it through the operation. And the child told the doctor, you know what? I don't think there's going to be any problem, because I know what you're going to find in there. And the doctor's kind of taken aback. He figured maybe his mother had told him some stories. And the little child said to the physician, you're going to find Jesus in my heart, so I'm going to be okay. And so after the operation, when mom and dad came in for the, I don't know what they call that thing. I'm not a medical guy. The thing that happens after the operation, the discussion, the rundown. And they asked what the physician found in there. And the physician said, I found Jesus in that child's heart. What might the great physician find in your heart today? Will you open up and invite him in? Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this day. Lord, may your word and your distinctive knocks get our attention this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.